Proverbs chapter 15. All right, you received your sheet tonight, so we're going to look at one verse. You know where we're going. I know you all read it already, so trying to figure out the blanks. I know. Proverbs 15:27. Notice what the Bible says here. And as I've been saying with this series on wisdom from above, I've been going through Proverbs, and if I see a subject that we've dealt with already, I'll skip over that. And it's interesting because this is the first time that this subject is brought up in Proverbs. You could also equate this with the topic of covetousness. A little bit different the way I'm going to address it tonight. But this is actually the first time that I'm dealing with it here in Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 15, notice verse 27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live.
Amen.
Let's read that together. When I say begin, spin the habit on Wednesday nights. Ready, begin. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be here. Thank you for the Bible.
Amen.
Lord, as we've been going through this book of Proverbs, it's amazing how many nuggets of truth are there. The things that you contain in each verse that we could just go on and on about.
Yes,
thank you that you've given us wisdom from above.
Amen.
And I pray tonight as we look at this truth that you're giving us, that we would apply it to our lives, that we would examine ourselves.
Yes.
And as I preach the message that you've led me to preach, I pray that you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. I pray that your word would go forth with power tonight and clarity.
Yes.
Give us understanding, and may we, none of us in this room, be guilty of being greedy of gain. Please help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
A man by the name of Manfred DeVries, he's a professor at INSEAD Business School. It's actually a European business school. And he told the following story in an article entitled, Seven Signs of the Greed Syndrome. I like that. He said at a recent board meeting of the Railer Company, the CEO, Pavel, managed to push through his new salary and bonus package to $20 million, taking his CEO to worker pay ratio to 400 to 1. But in spite of his raise, it bothered Pavel that some of his colleagues in similar companies were making more. Bothered him. He comforted himself, though, with the knowledge that he had just purchased one of the most advanced Gulfstream corporate jets, a $20 million New York penthouse apartment, and a generous expense account which gave him unrestricted opportunities to charge personal items, of which included a summer yacht rental of $20,000. Despite all the perks, Pavel continued to believe that he deserved more. After all, he thought he was the CEO of the company. He wasn't a member of the billion-dollar club yet, so there was a lot to be had. Amen. During a subsequent company meeting, though, in the middle of a heated discussion, not long after that one meeting, Pavel had a stroke. For a short time, he was kept alive on life support, but soon after, the CEO that wanted more died. This man writing the article concluded by saying this. He said it was death that put an end to his sense of never having enough. He went on to say, for Pavel, life without more money always seemed incomplete, but money without life turned out to be quite useless. That's pretty smart if you ask me. Now tonight we're dealing with this subject of being greedy of gain. Notice the phrase in our text tonight, greedy of gain. Now remember, the book of Proverbs is penned by King Solomon. And so think about that, King Solomon and his life. He is the one, of course, that penned in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, how he was searching for all kinds of pleasure and great works. In verse 4, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made the pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. And you know what he did? He looked at all the works that his hands had wrought. What did he say about it? Vanity of vanity. All is vain. He was a man that perhaps lived out this verse. He spent time in his life that he was greedy of gain. And again, notice what he says. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. So now King Solomon is warning his son, likely King Rehoboam. He's trying to give him wisdom from above so he doesn't make the same mistake, so he doesn't waste his life. And he warns him, he says, son, if you're going to be greedy of gain, understand something, you're going to trouble your own house.
Right. Amen.
Being greedy of gain. You know, greed is a characteristic that has been a part of man's nature since the fall.
Amen.
In Genesis chapter 3. But what is interesting is that throughout history, greed has had mixed reviews. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, on one hand, some say that greed has been the motor and the motivator for things like economic growth and human progress and human invention and human advancement. So they try to say, well, greed is a good thing because it's the motor that powers all those things. If it weren't for greed, people wouldn't be pursuing new inventions. We wouldn't be progressing and so forth. Some would say that. On the other hand, others would say that greed has been the cause of much misery. Well, who's right? The world says it's a good thing. Others say it's not. Who's right? Well, that's easy. God's right. God's word is always right. And notice what he says about it here. He says that he that is greedy of gain, what does he do? He troubleth his own house.
Amen.
Being greedy of gain, we're going to see tonight, is a very, very destructive thing. But you know what is interesting about being greedy of gain is that it can be manifest in very obvious ways, like this, that opening illustration I gave you a few moments ago. But it can also be manifest in more subtle ways.
Right.
It absolutely can. It can be seen, being greedy of gain, can be seen in the lives of the unregenerate, but it can also be seen in the lives of God's people. You could be sitting here tonight in church and be guilty of being greedy of gain. Are you? Well, let's find out tonight. I want to preach on that subject, as you see on your handout, the wisdom of not being greedy of gain. You want to be wise tonight? Don't be greedy of gain. So how do I know if I am guilty of that? Well, let's see as we unfold that this evening. Notice, first of all, number one, the principle of being greedy of gain. Again, notice we read, he that is greedy of gain. There's a phrase there. Now, what exactly does that mean when we're talking about being greedy of gain? Well, let's take it apart and try to understand each of the parts. First of all, notice letter A, the definition of gain. So we're talking about greedy of gain, but let's talk about gain in and of itself. Our God, let's understand this, very important to understand, our God is not against gain. Generally speaking, he's not at all against it. He's not necessarily against you and I increasing in goods. He's not against you accumulating things. I mean, look at probably most of our basements and our garages and things. I mean, we're just getting stuff and getting rid of stuff and doing that constantly. But again, he's not necessarily against us accumulating things or advancing in life. He's not against advancing in our place of employment, our careers. He's not against that at all. So notice the definition of gain, and you may want to write this next to it if you like. Very, very simple. It means very simply this, to obtain an increase in anything. That's what it means. to obtain an increase in anything. It means to acquire things. It means to obtain by industry or employment. You work hard and you get things. Again, that's what it means to experience gain. And again, I repeat, God is not against you and I increasing. It's not a sin to increase. Some people think it is. Well, I have to have no money or no anything. I have to live as a poor man if I'm going to be a Christian. That's not the Bible. You may want to play the martyr syndrome, but the truth of the matter is God's not against you or against me increasing if it's done the right way. Genesis 47 and verse 24, "And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your household, and for food for your little ones." Again, in that context, it's talking about that the children of Israel are going to experience increase.
Right.
He's not saying, oh, you're increasing, that's a sin, that's wrong, give it all away. He doesn't say that. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 4, "Then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase," or her gain, "and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." So understand, when God created man, He placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and He said to us, He blessed us, He said, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth," and He told us to subdue the earth. In other words, we are to use the materials that God has given us to live, to produce food, to use for gardening and farming, to make clothing, to build shelters, to have modes of transportation, even modern conveniences. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with a car, Mr. Amish Buggy Man. I'm just saying, you know. It's okay. It's not a sin to, well, Jesus, anyway, I don't want to go there. So again, we have all these things so that you and I might experience increase,
right,
or gain or advancement. Matter of fact, if we look in the Bible, we find God blessing many of His children with gain,
right,
with increase. Nothing wrong with that. Abraham, Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2, "And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold." Wow, that's a sin. No, it's not. Not at all. The nation of Israel during the days of Joseph, Exodus 1:7, "And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them." Again, my point is this, gain is not necessarily a problem. It's not necessarily a sin. Now, there's a lot of cautions in the Bible of they that are rich, some challenges that you're going to face, unlike those that may not have the same types of things. But again, it is not a sin or a problem in the eyes of God. So understand, when we're talking about this definition of gain, it means to obtain by an increase of anything. Nothing wrong with that.
Right.
But then letter B, we see the addition of a word. Notice he doesn't say in verse 27, "He that experiences gain," he says, "he that is greedy of gain."
Right.
Greedy of gain. You see, when you add that little two-word phrase, "greedy of,"
right,
it takes that word "gain" and changes it all around.
Amen.
It changes the whole thing when we're talking about greedy of gain. You know, it's interesting. I thought I'd do a little lookup. It's easy to do, of course, with computers today. But of the word greedy. Greedy is only found in 6 verses in the entire Bible. That's it. Now, we could say covetousness and that sort of thing. One time in Psalm chapter 17 and verse 12. 2 times in Proverbs. Once here in our text. Another time in the beginning. I'm going to quote a few of those here in a moment. One time in Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 11. Great verse on it. I am going to quote that here in a second. And then 2 times in the book of 1 Timothy. That's interesting. So, you got Psalms once, Proverbs twice, Isaiah once, and then the book of Timothy twice. And it's interesting, the context of Timothy, it's when it's relating to the qualifications of a pastor and a deacon.
Right.
This idea of having greed. That's interesting. Out of all the times in the Bible, 2 of the 6 deal with people in service of God. 1 Timothy 3:3, when it's talking of the qualifications of the pastor, there's a warning there. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre.
Right.
We read the same thing with the qualifications of a deacon. In verse 8 of 1 Timothy 3, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy, a filthy lucre. There it is again. So again, there's warnings about this idea of being greedy of gain. I'm going to give you a long definition of it, but I want you to listen closely because it's very important to understanding this message. What does that phrase, being greedy of gain, mean? What does it mean when we read it in Proverbs twice is where we find that exact phrase? Here's what it means. It is someone who is willing to use unjust means or unethical practices, or unbiblical principles, in order to advance themselves, or to advance a cause, or to achieve some sort of self-serving goal. Told you it was a long one.
Right.
But you don't have to write the whole thing. But I want you to think about that. Somebody that is willing, they have a goal. There's something I want. I want this gain. I want it, and I want it not by waiting on God, not by letting Him bring it to pass. I want to get it. And they're willing to use unjust means, unbiblical principles, unethical practices in order to obtain that gain. To advance themselves or to advance even a good cause, it could be. More about that here in a little bit. But always it is a self-serving goal. So it is someone who has an inordinate desire for gain. I have to have that. And I'm going to do what I have to do to get that. That's what it's talking about. Greedy of gain. Now the prophet Isaiah, let's turn there because I think it's such a wonderful verse. Go to Isaiah chapter 56. This is one of the few times, it's of course six times in the Bible, but look at Isaiah chapter 56. And look at verse 11. Now, this is talking about, it's describing Israel's watchman. Now, you understand what a watchman does, right? He looks out, and if somebody's coming, it's his job to warn. He can preach, of course, and we'll give that warning. But instead, what was happening to these watchmen, and by the way, Ezekiel talks about the priests and the prophets doing the very same thing. Instead of doing what they were supposed to do, they use their position for self-advancement.
Right.
To get things. They were greedy of gain, right? And so notice what we read in Isaiah 56:11. Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, everyone for his gain from his quarter. There it is.
Right.
These watchmen were greedy of gain. They weren't content with waiting on God, serving God, doing what's right, and letting God bring whatever gain there is. No, they wanted gain. They wanted self-advancement. They wanted their stuff. And so what did they do? They used unjust means and unbiblical principles to get what they wanted. That's what it means to be greedy of gain.
Right.
Now, one author listed what he called warning signs for this greed syndrome. And let me read them to you. He said this. Here's some warning signs. You say, well, do I have this syndrome? Number one is this, is there's overly self-centered behavior. Somebody that's guilty of greed, greedy, being greedy, if you will, greedy for gain, they are centered on themselves, on what they want. Greedy people are always saying me, 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 with very little regard for the needs of others or the feelings of others.
Right.
Number two, he said this, there's always the presence of envy.
Right.
Envy and greed are like twins. While greed is a strong desire for more possessions, envy includes a strong desire to have the possessions of others. In other words, greed is I want stuff, envy is I want what you got. That's what I want. Number three, he said there's also a lack of empathy. He said they have no problem causing pain to others in order to achieve their gain. I remember when I worked in management down in in Atlantic City. Boy, it was a dog-eat-dog world with some of these guys. They wanted a position, and they would do whatever they could do to get that position. And by the way, that exists in any corporation and any company. I want to make myself look good. I want to get that promotion, and therefore, I don't care what I have to do. I am going to get it, whether it hurts you or not. If I have to make you look bad, that's what I'm going to do. That's the way the world functions. They're greedy of gain. Number four, he says quickly, they're never satisfied. They never have enough. They truly believe that they deserve more, even if it comes at somebody else's expense. Number five, he says, they are experts in manipulation. That's what somebody that's greedy of gain does. They manipulate and they scheme and they connive. And they're highly talented at taking credit for work that's done by others. Number six, he said, they see only short term. In other words, they want to satisfy their immediate needs and do not think of the long term consequences of their actions. And then number seven, they have no limits. In other words, they're greedy of gain, and so they're willing to compromise moral values, ethical values. They don't care. They want to achieve the goal. They look for loopholes. They look for ways to outsmart people so they can get what they want when they want it. They're greedy of gain. Again, when someone is willing to compromise principles to achieve a self-serving goal, they are greedy of gain. So number one, we see the principle of being greedy of gain. We saw the definition of gain, and we saw the addition of greed. Number two, let's talk about this, the places we can be greedy of gain. So, being greedy of gain can manifest itself in many different ways. And I'm going to show you how tonight. It first can be manifest, letter A, write this down, in temporal things. Here's what I mean by that. There are areas, when we talk about earthly things, temporal things, there are areas that you and I, or anybody for that matter, can be greedy of gain. Number one, we're going quickly tonight, number one is in possessions. Possessions. Some people, even Christians, have an inordinate desire for stuff. It's called covetousness, right? We want more stuff. Welcome to America, right? You gotta have this, you gotta have that. And some people have this inordinate desire. They are greedy of gain the things that they want. They want stuff. They want the huge house. They want the mansion. They want the designer clothes. They want the fast cars. They want the lavish vacations. They want to live the life of the rich and famous, and they will do whatever they have to do to get it. It's called greedy of gain. They'll charge to the hilt if they have to. They'll sign their name off. They'll go into all kinds of debt. They'll manipulate whatever they have to do to get what they want. And they are willing to compromise principles in order to gain financially. Some people are greedy of gain when we talk about possessions. Then number two, we can be greedy of gain also in the area of popularity. You know, some people have such a desire to be famous, to be noticed, to be looked at. You know, there was a time, I would say probably a decade ago, where if you told someone about a selfie, they'd have no idea what you're talking about. What do you mean a selfie? Yeah, you take pictures of yourself. I mean, to think of the things people do on social media to try to be noticed, to try to gain popularity, to try to be liked, to try to be well known. You see, some folks, they just have to be known. They have to be popular. They want to be someone in the eyes of the world. They may want to be a professional sports star. I don't know. They have dreams of the NBA or the NFL or whatever, Major League Baseball. Maybe they look at the big screen and they think, I want to be a movie star, or I want to have so many likes on my social media, or I want to be an influencer on my social media, or I want to be a rock star or a country star. You name it. There is people that really think, I want that. I have to be popular. That's out there. And they're willing to compromise principles and do whatever they have to do to get there. You just read some of the lives of these people that made it big and the things they had to sacrifice to make it big. When I say big, I say it tongue in cheek because it's not big in God's eyes. I mean, they've compromised their morals. They've compromised their purity. They've compromised all kinds of things because they wanted to do whatever it takes to get what they wanted. They are greedy of gain in the area of popularity. Then I thought of a third one, number three, and that is we can be greedy of gain in the area of position and power. Some people are obsessed with their idea of success. What is success to you? Some people, they'll do whatever it takes to advance in a career, to get that position, to get that rank in the military, or to climb the corporate ladder. That's their goal. Their mind is, I want to advance. I want to be someone. I want to have that. I want to attain the highest position possible because it's in them that they want people to look at them and say, wow, there's a successful person. And so, again, they're willing, if they're greedy of gain, they're willing to compromise principles and ethics in order to achieve that. And again, we can be greedy of gain in all kinds of temporal things on this earth because that's the way the world is.
Right.
They're after possessions. They're after position. They're after power and all of those things and popularity. But the wisdom from above says this, he that is greedy of gain, you're troubling your own house. It's going to cause you trouble. More about that later. You know, there's been many Christians that have thrown away their lives because they've been greedy of gain in temporal things. In other words, they pursue either possessions or popularity. Most of the time it's possessions or position. And that pursuit has caused them to do things like this, miss church on a regular basis, or abandon the will of God, or maybe drop their standards in their personal life, their Christian standards, and become apathetic in the Christian life, all because their focus now is not on God anymore. It's not on the things of God. It's on the things of this world. And they want those things so bad that they're willing to compromise whatever it takes to get it. God help us.
Amen.
Deliver us from that.
Right.
So again, we can be greedy of gain in temporal things. I want you to listen to this one as well. We can be greedy of gain, letter B, in spiritual things.
Right.
You say, what do you mean by that? Listen very closely. We can have an inordinate desire for gain in spiritual things. Now, here's what I mean. You see, preachers and churches can become obsessed with numbers, attendance, with salvation numbers, baptism numbers, Sunday school numbers, bus route numbers. Again, I'm all for reaching, and I believe the Lord wants us to reach as many people as possible. But you have to be careful you don't become obsessed with it to the point you're willing to compromise principles, ethics, things that are biblical and right, in order to achieve those things that you think are even right things. That's greedy of gain, spiritually. It absolutely is. You know, preachers can even become obsessed with being recognized. They do. They can become obsessed with being in the limelight. They can become obsessed with having to have the largest attendance in town or having their sermons published in some sort of national periodical, you know, they can become obsessed with that, or they can become obsessed with preaching at national conferences and all that. They have this idea, I want that, that's what I want. I want the recognition, I want the popularity, I want the notoriety. And many of them, if they're not careful, some can, again, sacrifice ethical things because of it. Why do you think that some men compromise their standards to get a crowd? They're greedy of gain.
Right.
Why do people avoid some churches and preachers, avoid preaching certain topics? When was the last time you went to a church and heard a sermon on dress? You don't hear it a lot.
Right.
You don't hear it a lot on music either.
Right.
You don't hear those things. Why is that? And I'm not saying necessarily because they don't preach it, they're greedy of gain. But if they are greedy of gain, they probably won't preach it.
Right. Amen.
Because they know that if they say certain subjects and deal with certain things, that they are going to thin the herd a lot. Yeah. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ had no problem thinning the herd.
Right.
Read John
Amen.
Chapter 6. When he was giving a preaching to that big group of people, and they said, some of the followers of him that were there for the food and for the stuff, said, boy, this is a hard saying. Who can take it? And it said many of his disciples followed him no more.
Right.
And he turned to Peter and said, will you leave also?
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Peter had enough backbone then
Praise
to say, how shall we leave? Lord, you have the words of life.
Amen.
We're staying.
Praise the Lord.
He had no problem thinning the crowd.
Amen.
Not that he was necessarily trying to, but he was trying to preach the truth.
Amen.
And so understand that many that are greedy of gain, they'll compromise Bible versions. They'll compromise the music because they're trying to get a crowd. They'll even, some of them will even compromise Christian ethics.
Right.
You see, what do you mean by that? They'll have no problem stealing church members. You know, when someone comes to visit this church and they're a member of another good independent Baptist church, do you know that next week I am on the phone with that pastor telling them, hey, just so you know, and they're a member, one of your members was here visiting. Now, you know how many people have done that to me? I think of maybe one that I can think of. But not many.
Right.
Because they're trying to build their crowd. They're trying to gain, you know, they're greedy of a large group and so forth. Some will even go as far, and I've heard of it, and you have too, as to steal staff members from a church so they can build their ministry. They're greedy of gain. See, we can be just as guilty as the world in this area of being greedy of gain. We can do the same types of things. So I ask us tonight, are we greedy of gain? Is the most important thing in the world trying to get more people here in this building? Or is it to preach the truth and ask God to bless as He sees fit as we just obey His word? That's the way it's supposed to be. And I'll get to that here in a moment. But how about you, bus captain? How about you, Sunday school teacher? Are you doing unethical things? I hope not. Are you thinking about it to try to get people to ride your bus? People do it all the time. We've got another church not too far from here that goes after our bus kids. They send their buses right to our places that we've been going to for 25 years. No, more than that. For 40 years.
Amen.
And they're just getting them on their bus before us. What is that? That's called greedy of gain. Really?
Right.
Really? Because you want a high number on your bus? I'm just saying, we can be guilty of this thing, and that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Amen.
So we see, number one, the principle of being greedy of gain. Number two, the places we can be greedy of gain. Temporal things, even spiritual things. And then number three, the product of being greedy of gain. Go back to our text, and we're done right here. Notice again, it says, he that is greedy of gain troubles his own house.
Right.
God's work is to be done God's way. See, some people have the idea, well, I'm doing God's work and my end goal is good. I'm trying to get people saved. Therefore, the means doesn't matter. No, the means does matter. It absolutely does. Not just what we're doing, but how we're doing it.
Right. Amen.
Very important. God's work is to be done God's way, and there's nothing wrong with gain. It's good when it's biblical and it's ethical, and it's the result of God's blessings.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, we're doing our part. We're giving the gospel out. We're sowing the seed. One planted the seed. Apollos watered the seed. Hey, but it's God that gives the increase. We're not trying to force anything by doing unethical things. By the way, there's nothing wrong with a person getting promoted at your job. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with you making more money. Nothing wrong with you having nice things. Again, as long as it is God behind all of those things.
Right.
Nothing wrong with a church that is growing. Nothing wrong with a bus route that's growing. Nothing wrong with a Sunday school that is growing. Those are good things. There's nothing wrong with God giving a preacher or a church more visibility. He does that at times. Or more opportunities to be a greater influence for the cause of Christ in this world. As long as it's God doing that.
Amen.
And not us. Because if it's us, and we're trying to generate something in the flesh to look like some big thing, we're greedy of gain.
Amen.
We're greedy of gain. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:5, and if a man also strive for masteries, notice, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. You get that, right?
Right. Amen.
I remember, I forget how long ago it was. It was some kind of marathon race that it wasn't a big, you know, national thing. But I don't know if it was a high school or something. But I saw this marathon race where this kid had won, you know, and they were all patting him on the back and all that sort of thing. And they thought it was kind of weird because people were saying, well, I don't know how he went. He won the race. I mean, he was kind of in the middle of a pack. And next thing you know, he wins. Well, somebody had happened to have had some video of the thing, and they found out he actually cut across the course and cut it short so he can get in first place, and he won. And he went across the line like he was the winner. He even took whatever the medal thing it was that they gave to him, and he was smiling. Then he found out, you didn't win. And so they took it off. Well, no kidding.
Right.
Well, it's like us, you know. Hey, we had 1,000 in the service. Okay. Did we do it through the right means? Are we obeying God? Are we using biblical principles? Because we're not going to be crowned. We can strive as much as we can, but we're not going to be crowned unless we strive lawfully.
Amen.
We do things right and biblically and ethically.
Right.
And let God bless as He sees fit.
Amen.
So, notice what's the result here. We're talking about the product of being greedy of gain. What happens if we are greedy of gain? Letter A, write it down. There's a curse in your own life.
Right.
Oh, I don't want a curse.
Amen.
Not me. I don't. You see, if we compromise in order to gain, if we throw out standards in order to gain, if we throw out everything we know to be true and right and biblical, guess what? We will be cursed of God. We absolutely will. And the day's going to come, although we may ride a nice wave for a good long while because it looks good to everybody, it's going to come crashing down.
Right.
Because God doesn't bless it.
Right.
If we use the means of being greedy of gain.
Amen.
Think about all the Bible men that ruined their lives because they were greedy of gain. I think of Lot. Right? What did he want? He wanted the well-watered plains of Sodom. You know, what did he do? He went to Sodom and Gomorrah, ruined his life. What about Achan, right? When they went into Jericho and they were told of God not to touch anything, he saw that goodly Babylonian garment and the silver and the gold. What did he do? He was greedy of gain. Well, I can take it, no big deal. And he hid it. You know what happened to him? He got stoned to death along with his family.
Right.
Why is that? Greedy of gain. I think of Ahab with Naboth's vineyard. What did he want? He wanted that. I want it now. But it's not yours. But I want it now.
Right.
He lost his life because of that. I think of Gehazi, whose greed of gain caused him to pursue that gift of Naaman. Naaman was healed of his leprosy. And he wanted to give a gift to the priest, the prophet. No. And so what happened? Gehazi snuck around and went after him. And he said, oh, yeah. He told me to take it for him. And he got cursed with leprosy.
Right.
Why? Greedy of gain. Amen. How'd that work out for them? You think these churches that are all compromising principles and standards and all, do you think they're going to last? They're not.
Right.
They're not. Just as fast as they go up, they go down.
Right.
So being greedy again, a curse on your own life. And then secondly, a curse to your house.
Right.
That's what it says in Proverbs 15:27. He that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house. But he that hateth gifts shall live. I don't want to bribe. I don't want to do things wrong. Nope. I'm doing the right thing. That's what he's saying here.
Right.
You see, there's a great price to pay when you're greedy of gain.
Right.
I remember when I was again in Atlantic City, and there were guys that did anything they could to get to the position that they wanted. I mean, they were scheming and conniving and lying and doing all kinds of things. And guess what? Some of them got that position. But guess what happened? They lost that position very fast, just as fast as they got it. Because God doesn't bless that. He doesn't bless doing well. He'll bring it crashing. And by the way, if you're greedy of gain as a man and you're sacrificing your church services and your family because you're trying to pursue materialism or pursue some sort of position at work, understand something. You are going to lose your family. Again, what it says, you're troubling your own house. Many a man has lost their marriage and their children and their ministry. Why? Because of their obsession with gain.
Right.
I have to have this. I have to be successful. I have to be rich. I have to be popular. I have to have that position. They were willing to compromise principles in order to achieve a self-serving goal. So, that's it. Be greedy of gain tonight? Are you? You want something so bad that you're willing to sacrifice things that are right to get it? Willing to just do whatever to get what you think is the right thing, but getting it the wrong way? That's not a good philosophy.
Amen.
Again, the Bible says, he that's greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live.
Amen.
Arthur Schopenhauer was an 1800s philosopher, but he said something I thought was good. He said this, quote, "Wealth is like seawater. The more we drink, the thirstier we become." You see, if we will learn, wisdom from above says this, don't follow what everybody else is trying to do. The dog-eat-dog world, climbing on top of people to try to get something. Don't translate that into the ministry of we're just trying to be somebody. Let's just patiently follow God, do what's right. Our part is simply to obey God and His Word and let God give the increase when He sees fit to give it in His timing. Let's not be guilty of being greedy of gain.